Hey y'all.
Hey y'all.
Welcome to God's Girls.
I'm Alexa.
And I'm Avelyn.
And in today's episode, we will be talking to Clint Neesmith, one of our family friends at church. If you like our podcast and want to join in the fun, follow us and comment. Listen to us on any of the main podcast apps.
The list for our podcast will be linked in today's episode description. Follow us on Instagram at God's Girls Podcast and on the Bible app at God's Girls.
Email us at godsgirls.podcast@gmail.com.
Remember to share this podcast with your friends and help grow God's kingdom.
Now let's jump into our 7th episode of season 2. So welcome, Clint, to the God's Girls podcast. Welcome to the God's Guys series. We're excited to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So we're going to jump in with the first question we have for you, which is, how has fear affected your decisions to do things you feel called to do or you have a desire to do?
I'd say when I was younger, fear probably was one of my only motivating factors for the decisions I made, whether it was fear of committing sins that were forgivable or not forgivable, fear of going to hell, fear of judgment from others. If I did commit a sin, fear of having to go down front and confess your sins before the whole church, that kind of thing. Fear of consequences for my actions, fear of being unredeemable. All those things definitely affected my decision-making process. I was even afraid to commit my life to God because and be baptized when I was your age, because that meant that I was admitting I was a sinner. I was afraid that after becoming a Christian, I would have to be perfect or I wouldn't make it into heaven. However, I'd say that fear affects me less than it did when I was younger, partly because I've grown and matured in my faith and understanding of the Bible since then, but mainly because fear is not the right motivation for why you should want to be a Christian and why you should be a Christian. If all you're concerned about is being saved from spending eternity in hell, then your heart and your mind isn't really in the right place. I had a coworker of mine recently talk to me about how he's not a fan of Christianity because it's all about avoiding hell. And honestly, if that's what I thought Christianity was about and I was in his shoes, I wouldn't be a Christian either. Luckily for us, Christianity is about so much more than that. It gives us hope of better things to come, and it gives us a purpose for our lives. Life without hope or purpose is really a sad life, and I don't know how people make it without God in their lives. But back to the question, does fear still affect me? Yes, and I think it affects most of us in one way or another, but it's something I try to get better at every day. What about you guys?
Yeah, I feel like I see fear in a day-to-day like situation. I could be afraid of anything. Honestly, I feel like I'm afraid of everything just a little bit because I overthink every situation I'm put in. And so I think of all the bad things that could happen no matter what we're doing. I think of every negative thing that could have as an outcome. And so I've been working on that a lot, doing like a lot of Bible studies about that lately, because I've realized that fear has changed my life for the worse because I've decided not to do certain things that God has been calling me to do because of fear, which almost happened with the podcast. I almost said no because I was too afraid. So
right.
I definitely see that from day to day, commonly, sadly. It's not good, but it's the truth.
How have you seen the Lord guide you through a difficult time?
I remember there are several times in my life where I struggled with apathy and wondering about the point of everything. But on the flip side, I've also struggled with perfectionism, and surprisingly enough, those two can be closely linked to each other. If you think about it, after you've practiced at something and achieved goals and performed at the peak of your ability, what else is left to achieve, you know? Apathy creeps in and makes you start to question everything, or at least it did for me when I was your age. I tried to live up to incredibly high standards set for myself, and it consumed me and molded much of my personality how I am today. The problem with perfectionism and apathy for me was that my focus was not on God. I went through a crisis of conscience and belief in college. And while I never fully turned away from God, in my mind, I was heading down a path that could have easily resulted in that. God was always there for me, though. It took a few bad grades in college classes, mainly, to set me back on the right path. I dove headfirst into college ministry and went to every available event I could possibly be involved in. And eventually, I used that perfectionism to study the Word, and that apathy, which caused doubt, to turn into good doubt that helped me form my beliefs about who I am and what God wanted me to be. The story that actually brought me to a better belief and understanding of God was when I was in college. There was an event in a church about 30 minutes away from where I was. And it was just like a normal like retreat where you go and you study about God with some of your friends. And one of the classes that they had there was about Revelation. And interestingly enough, I'd never thought about really in depth, like what happens when we go to heaven, what happens after you die, and that kind of thing. And one of the things that it talks about is our earthly bodies versus our heavenly bodies. And because one of the things I was, you know, concerned about when I was still trying to like form my beliefs and everything was, well, if we're just going to go up to heaven, what's there to do there? You know, are we going to just be kind of sitting around chilling, or, you know, what's the plan when we get up there? Cause I wanted something to look forward to, and I didn't really have that in my mind. And, this class kind of, helped enlighten me to that, because it talks about how we're not going to have these earthly bodies that experience pain and all that kind of stuff. We're going to have these heavenly bodies, similar to how Jesus had whenever, he was resurrected. And I don't know, that gave me a lot of hope and a lot of, hope for the future, I guess, about what there is to come. And it's not just going to be, you know, chilling around all day and that kind of stuff. There's actually work to be done and things for you to do to occupy your time and things that will bring glory to God when we get to heaven. So that was just, it was really, you know, it inspired a lot of hope in me whenever I learned about that and kind of renewed my passion for God.
I think it's cool how you said, going back to when you said you used your perfectionism for Jesus, and like you kind of turned some of the things you didn't think were so good into something you could use for the benefit of the gospel. And I think right. That's a cool outlook on how you could work on yourself, because I've never thought of it that way. I've always thought, you know, get rid of the things you think wouldn't be pleasing to God, but instead the perfectionism you changed to be something that you could use for the benefit.
And right. You can always go in the wrong direction with something, you know, too much of a good thing can sometimes be bad, right?
Right. Our next question is, do you find it difficult to seek God's approval before the approval of others? And how do you see that play through your life?
I'd say, you know, definitely. It's easy to forget that God sees everything we do and knows everything about us. It's always a conscious decision when I'm seeking God's approval. Mostly this happens when I'm in prayer. And, you know, it really should always be on our minds. And I think it is. It's just more difficult because he's not, you know, visible to us like our friends and family are. So it's easier to seek approval from those people in your life than it is to seek approval from God, who's not like right in front of you, in your face, talking to you audibly in these human forms that we have. So yeah, I'd say definitely it is kind of difficult sometimes.
I think that it's easier to like get bullied and then want to change yourself than it is to like think about how God thinks about you and then just be who you want to be or who God wants you to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when you think about the passage about how God looks at the heart, but man looks at outward appearance, that's something hard for me to grasp at this age because I care a lot about how I look in front of people, how I present myself. And as I said, I tend to overthink everything. So every like little detail of everything I say, I go back through sometimes in my head, like conversations, even if I'm living for Jesus to my best, like I still tend to gravitate, well, how did I present myself in this situation? But really it's how did I show Jesus in this situation and how could I have shown him more? Not more about like, how did I look right here? Ew, I looked so gross in this picture. That's disgusting. Like God is not about your presentation. It's about living for him in the best light.
It is difficult.
Have you ever experienced temptation in your life that has pulled you away from God? And how have you found your way back?
Yeah, all the time. Temptation is always there if you listen close enough. There's always something in the back of your mind telling you how to do the wrong thing. At least that's how I think it is sometimes. I can't think of a specific extended period of time in my life where I was more than an arm's length away from God. But there's certainly been times where I've struggled with apathy, doubts, fear, as I mentioned before, lust, laziness, greed, procrastination, and many others. Go through all the seven sins, the seven deadly sins. You've probably done one of them at one point in your life or another. And I want to talk about something before we move on, though. You'll notice I mentioned doubt as a struggle, but it isn't always bad to doubt. In fact, I think it's healthy to doubt and question why you believe what you believe. The reason I said it's a struggle is because you can take doubting too far and end up turning away from God. Thankfully, God's always there to pull me back, though. Mostly the way in which God pulls me back, though, is through my conscience. I know the entire time I'm sinning and what I'm doing is wrong, and guilt sets in and pulls me back to where I'm supposed to be. When you should be worried about that is when you're not feeling guilty about what you're doing that's wrong. I think that your conscience or that guilt is probably the Holy Spirit saying, hey, what you doing? Get back here. And I think God also puts people in your life that help you back on the path that you're supposed to be on. What about you all, though? I know you're both young, and but has temptation had much of an impact on your life?
I mean, yeah, I can't think of like a certain situation, but I know it has.
Mm-hmm.
I know doubt has affected my life, just like little things, doubting about who God is or like where God is, is he there when I need him most? I have doubts like that. But really what brings me back from those doubts is conversations about it with my parents. I talk to God a lot about it just because it makes me feel so much closer to him when I'm in conversation. And I also talk to family friends about it a lot. Like just having those Bible studies with them and like fellowship with them helps bring me back to out of the doubt that Satan has pulled me into and back into his word and into his truth that we can ground ourselves on.
Right. Right. But I do think, it's not always bad to have those doubts too. What do y'all think about that?
I don't think it's bad, but sometimes I think it's not healthy to always be doubting it.
Right.
Yeah. You don't want to let them in so much that you like dwell on them, but it is healthy to have them occasionally, in my opinion.
Yeah, because how else do you form like who you are and what you believe if you don't doubt what you've been told by certain people? You've got to learn things, and you've got to eventually have these ideas put in your head, but you've got to doubt at some point to form your own opinions about things.
Yeah. Why do you believe what you believe?
Okay. I would say that, a lot of it has been the upbringing. Like we were just talking about, you've got to learn something first before you can have it set into your heart and have it become part of your total, belief structure. But I would say I believe what I believe because of the overwhelming evidence, mainly. It wasn't last year because last year was COVID, but the year before that, when we were doing that Bible study about apologetics and the evidence for why the Bible is real, I'd say that formed the core of my beliefs. There was just overwhelming amount of evidence to support, you know, that my belief in God and that Jesus saved me is the reason for what I believe. It was just too much evidence for it not to be true, you know. I'd say that's probably the main reason.
Do you have some examples of the evidence you've seen maybe in your life?
I don't know. It's just it's hard to think of specific examples just off the top of my head, but I do remember, you know, just whenever I go on certain trips with the college group back, I guess it was a few years back. We went to this mountain in Arkansas with a bunch of other college kids, and I think being out in nature and seeing like how perfectly everything was made, and in some instances how imperfectly things were made. Because if things were perfect, you know, if all things were perfect, then you know it's like it's too good to be true. There was something that, you know, maybe a computer designed all this stuff and all that kind of thing. But whenever you see all these things in nature, and you see like how everything comes together, and like if the earth was just a fraction of whatever, I can't think of the term of measurement, if it was just a fraction off of its axis, then our whole world would be different. And if it was just, you know, a little bit farther away from the sun or a little bit closer, then all life wouldn't even exist. And it's just everything is so perfectly put into existence for us that it's just incredible how it all fits together.
I remember hearing about that in one of my classes at school, how, yeah, if the earth was a little bit tilted the other way or a little bit closer to the sun, we would all perish very quickly. And it is really cool to think about how God did put all this together for good. He worked all of this to work together to create this beautiful earth. It's really cool evidence to see in just nature, God existing, and seeing God existing just through the simple things is some of the biggest evidence you could provide a person.
How have you seen the Lord working in your life?
I feel like that every time I start to feel out of my comfort zone, and like when I'm doing something for church or that I feel like I'm being called to do, that's the Lord working in my life. I'm sure there's tons of other ways the Lord works in my life, but those are the main ways I feel like I see the Lord working in my life. You know, with all the different things I do for the praise team and the song ministry and that kind of thing at church, I feel like that's kind of where my calling is at, and I'm hoping that is affecting people for the positive. I know whenever I was in college and I was trying to decide on what I wanted to do, I know that my main motivation was that I wanted to make a difference in people's lives. And my career now is in IT, and that's what I studied whenever I was in college. And so being able to help people with their computer problems and solve things that you know, may make them feel stupid or something like that, but to try to do it in a way that doesn't make them feel stupid. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a calling as well for me to help people out with things that I'm skilled in.
I'd never thought about it like that, like him, like doing anything with the church and then it's him calling you to do it. Or maybe not with the church, but like he just, you know, I mean, that had like never gone through my mind.
Yeah, so like whenever you are good at something and it's something you enjoy, have you ever thought that might be the Lord calling you to do that, but for his ministry?
I'm not good at anything, but if I was, this is why we have the podcast though, so then I can expand my thoughts and beliefs and stuff. That makes sense, right?
Sure, but like, so you're doing this podcast with your friend, and do you feel like this is something that God called you to do?
Yes.
So there you go. Right there.
Wow, Evelyn is expanding her horizons this morning. I think about that all the time, like, what is God calling me to do? But it has changed 20 billion times since I was 5 years old. When I was five, I wanted to do something completely different than now. And obviously, I feel like everyone goes through that. But there are some people I know that have known what they wanted to do their entire lives. And recently, I felt God pulling me towards things that I've been afraid to do, which is kind of ironic. It's the things I've been avoiding my entire life are the things now that I feel like He's calling me to how I'm supposed to live. And that's been an interesting ride lately, because everyone's asking me, well, what do you want to do when you get older? And I can't say confidently what I'm going to do yet.
Yeah, well, it's all a process. You know, we're all different for a reason. I would never have probably started a podcast like you girls did. That's something that you girls are good at, and I'm not. You know, I get up in front of church on Sunday and do the lead the singing. And a lot of people say, well, I could never do that. And, you know, it's just each person is called for something different, I think. We're all made differently. And I think that we're all put together for God's purpose in a way that makes His will act out the best.
Abel, do you have anything that you feel like you've been called to do in the past years? Even if it's not this year.
Yes. I mean, this.
How have you seen that different than anything else you've done?
Well, it was kind of sudden how we did this. Well, just like, oh, podcast.
Well, we didn't even think through it at first. I started overthinking it to the point that I was starting to get afraid to do it. And I remember I was like, I don't know if we should do this. And you were like, let's give it a shot. What is there to lose? I feel like we should do this. I see why now, because it's really fun and I enjoy doing it. But that was pretty terrifying when I started thinking about the decision we had made after posting an episode. I was like, why did we do it?
But I feel like God was just like pushing me into the situation. You know, like in movies when all the guys are like huddling around this one guy, they're like, go do it, you know? I feel like that's what He was doing to me. He was like, go do it. And so then I just got pushed into this situation that I don't think I was ready for, but we did it anyways.
Yeah, so it's out of your comfort zone, but now you're in it and you're taking it and you're going with it. So it's good.
Mm-hmm. I did not feel ready for it either. Now that I think about it, like, I was not ready for this. And I don't think I would ever have thought I was ready for it. But God's better than ours, and He knows when we're ready. I just trust that He knows.
Have you thought about how many people you're reaching with it?
Yes, it's really cool. Because, like, we've got a counter for, like, how many people in other countries we've been reaching. And there's people in, like, so many countries that are not America, obviously, that have been listening to the podcast. And that, in and of itself, reaching people across the world for Christianity is incredible. It's also a lot of pressure, because then you're thinking so many people are listening right now that you just want to make sure you're doing everything right, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Only 91% of our listens come from the U.S.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I thought that was a really cool conversation.
Yeah, sure thing. Glad to have joined y'all's podcast, and look forward to listening to more. Y'all keep on doing it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all for listening to our podcast and supporting us. We hope you've been brought closer to Jesus through this episode.
Subscribe to this podcast and leave a review so you know what you think.
Follow us on Instagram at God's Girls Podcast and on the Bible app at God's Girls.
If you have any prayer requests or questions for us, go to our website, type it into our Contact Us tab, email us at godsgirls.podcast@gmail.com, or DM us on Instagram.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll see y'all next Sunday with a new episode.